Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
I am excited about being in the house. Give the Lord a shout out now. Come on. Come on. You know, for some people, they would think this becomes so routine and so rote. It doesn't. Every time I come together with you, it's just an opportunity for us to share the Word of God. And I believe God's given us something that we're going to really learn from today that will adjust our lives to the way that we talk to people, the way we respond to folks. We're going to go into Matthew chapter 10, verses 11 through 22, and you'll read the responding verses. And we're going to talk about probably a subject I have never preached on before, ever. Ever. Now, that's a lot. Out of 53 years of ministry, I have never preached on this one before. So somebody's like, really? So we'll pick it up at verse 11, and we'll go on down to verse 22. Now, whatever city or town you enter into, inquire who is worthy, and stay there till you go out. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to council, scourge you in their synagogues. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about what you, or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. Verse 22 together. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he endures to the end shall you be saved. Let's pray. Father, this morning I want to deliver a message today of what it means to go through not only persecution, but what our response ought to be. Because sometimes, Lord, we don't know how to react. We don't know really what we should do. We don't know where we should get antagonistic or whether we should just do whatever. But God, today you're going to give us insight and give us real insight of what you are actually saying in your word, of what we, how should we respond toward adversity, how should we respond toward persecution. But Lord, I tell you today that there's some people that will be set free because of your word always sets us free. Holy Spirit, come into our lives today, reveal to us the essence of your word, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and glory. So we pray all these wonderful things in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said,
amen.
I want you to turn to somebody, look me in the eye, and tell them this. Shake it off and move on. Go ahead and be seated. You say, what was that all about? Because at the very outset of what you just did, it's almost like this you know, incantation of saying to someone, well, you know, I'm moving on, forget about you, and all that type of thing. Well, for too many years, I pondered the saying of Jesus when he admonished his disciples to shake the dust from their feet and move on. When taking a deeper look at it, he was talking about what he's talking about. I believe the message he was trying to convey to us is there are sometimes that you cannot help people because they won't allow you to. Or they like the things just the way they are. The even greater lesson to be learned is trusting God to work everything out for the good of those who truly love the Lord, but must discover how much they truly need his help. I'm going to teach you today about helping people that are helpless or hopeless or worthless, whichever category you want to put them in. But here's some questions I want to kind of prepare you for this message. First one is this. Do you ever find yourself working harder at solving people's problems than the owners themselves of the problems? Say yes. You get yourself all worked up and you don't know what to do with yourself. And you found out, hold on, I'm working harder than they are. I'm staying up nights, I'm all frustrated, and they're just cruising right along. I got help for you today. Number two, have you allowed yourself to enable people close to you by thinking that you are helping them out? I got a word for you enablers that are sitting in this room right now. Knock it off. Let it go. Because you're in the way of what God is trying to do. You think you just fix this one little thing, it'll just kind of, they'll finally get it. They won't get it. Matter of fact, you are in the way. Number three, do you know that the one definition of witchcraft is trying to manipulate situations the way you want them to be? Some of you are working your voodoo on other folks. You do it by the way you look, by the way you act, and by the things that you do kind of behind their back to try to move it the right direction. You need to stop. The Holy Spirit is greater than you are. He's got greater insight than you'll ever have. Well, you've heard this before, letting go and allowing God. Go into Revelation chapter 3 and verses 22, and you'll see what kind of an introduction of what I mean. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. Now, I want to let you know, this scripture was not written to sinners. It was written to the church. My question is, how did Jesus get put on the outside of your heart when he's asking to get access back into the inside? So listen to that, put that in perspective as we go through this. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on this throne. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. First of all, this particular scripture was written to a church that was lukewarm. You say, that's just a terrible thing, lukewarmness. Oh, that's horrible. That's just, we're going to find out what temperature you are in a minute. The lukewarm church easily fails to the curse of mediocrity of just enough good not to feel bad about themselves. That's what lukewarmness is. I'm not really bad, but I'm really good, but I feel just kind of good enough. I think I can go to church today. That's your temperature right there. You're not excited, but then you're not unexcited. So you're kind of lukewarm. Say, maybe something will happen to me. Maybe I'll catch on fire again. Praise the Lord. If I have anything to do with it, you'll be burning when I'm done. The type of Christian, type of Christians make no real impact for the cause of the kingdom of God. Let me prove that by saying Jesus' response to those who find themselves in a passive relationship with him is that they are immersed in the deception that everything is okay. How you doing? I'm fine. Everything's okay. You know something? The okay factor in the church is one of the things that's lulled it to sleep that we learn to, and I want to tell you this, I said this before, but I want you to get the impact of it. You can get used to anything. Amen. Oh, yes, you can. You say, that's just the way that's the way it is. You know, that's where they're going to be, you know, and you just kind of get into this state of lukewarmness. Well, that's kind of how the church is today. I know they used to be on fire for the Lord, but, you know, we're in a different season. Can you show me that in the Bible? Where lukewarmness is okay. Furthermore, those who subscribe to this level of commitment will fail to see their spiritual poverty, their spiritual blindness or their inability to affect anyone to draw them to Jesus by their adverse behavior. Now here it comes. Get ready. When is the last time you drew someone to Jesus by your behavior? So, can you kind of explain to me, why are you always, you know, this effervescent? Why are you always speaking positive? Why are you always in a particular good mood or whatever it happens to be? You're just so different than everyone else. You know what happens? You have allowed yourself to become like everybody else you're around. You haven't affected them. They've affected you. That's what lukewarmness is. The atmosphere around you affects you adversely. Well, let me go a little bit further. Jesus is committed to the believer who desires a real relationship with him. That's the good news. Jesus is committed to you. That if you yield yourself to him, he's committed to transform you in greater length. Jesus knocks at the door of the hearts of those who have once known the passion of what it meant to be on fire. If Jesus didn't want you, why is he knocking at the door? Here's a greater question. How did he get on the outside? He used to live on the inside. Why does he have to knock to gain access or someone else occupying the space where he belongs? Oh, honey, this is going to get rough today. You might as well get ready. But the good part about it is there's a solution we're coming to. So hang in there. Through circumstances, a believer can allow Jesus to be put on the outside of their life. The Holy Spirit knocks at the door through words that would incline one to open it up in order to renew the relationship with that was lost. So if Jesus is knocking at the door, first of all, we should recognize it's him. It's him. And I would believe as he's knocking on the door, that he's speaking words of comfort to you. That if you open the door and allow me in, have you ever had someone that's on the outside door? Hey, open the door, it's me. They identify themselves, so you can't say he didn't identify himself because he has something to bring to you that you really desperately need. Well, what does that mean? The wisdom of this world is, foolishness in the eyes of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18 through 23. This is a big portion of scripture, but it says, all right, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. Well, is that it? Some of the things the world calls foolish, Jesus calls, that's the way it is. It's a reversal of the way that we think. People think it's foolish for you to go to church. You go to church. It's not Easter. That was a couple weeks ago. It's not Christmas. I mean, really? Or you're going there for a wedding? Okay, I can get that. Hold on. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Everybody understand what futile means? It means those thoughts are going nowhere. Though you will enter a destination that you really didn't claim to get to. Let's go to the next few verses and we'll finish this out. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or of the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. What he's trying to do is put you in the forefront of the things that really matter, but really things that have substance. Now let's break this down a little bit. There's no greater deception than self-deception. Can I get an amen? Amen. And there's no greater deception as being deceived and not knowing it. Oh, I'm fine. What are you talking about? I'm cool. I'm good. No, you're not. You're stupid. You're deceived. You're tricked. You've been hoodwinked. And the worst thing about it is when everybody knows it but you. But I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to tell you how bad off you really are. You're going to love me in a minute. But it says the self-deception, which will convince us that we're doing the right thing in the eyes of men without regard to the things of God. Okay, the second part about this is even more powerful. The way that seems to right unto a man is often the pathway to destruction. Proverbs says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It'll eventually kill you. Now, there's nothing worse than being slowly poisoned. So, well, this tastes kind of funny, but you keep on drinking it. Tell me how that works. Oh, this doesn't taste like it should, but maybe if I drink a little more of it, it'll taste better. Really? We sometimes fool ourselves that things are going to get better. It didn't taste good in the beginning. What makes you think it's going to taste good in the end? Put it down. Oh, well. Here we go. Futility is often the product of ideas and plans that are in alignment with things of the world. The world declares as normal and reasonable. Whether you realize it or not, some of you are aware of this, others of you don't, aren't aware of it. They have now declared by our government, I think it's in the state of, pretty much in the state of Oregon, that you get to decide who you want to be sexually. And you can declare to be gender neutral. I ain't a girl, I ain't a boy. I'm kind of in the middle. And today I'm going to be a girl, tomorrow I'm going to be a boy, gender neutral. I'm going to tell you straight from my lips, listen to me carefully, that's nonsense. That is, if you buy into that one, you have really drank the Kool-Aid. This is not a political statement. This is a statement of reality. They're teaching it in public schools, that you get to decide your assignment. You know, I don't think I want to be a girl. I want to be a boy in this type of thing. And they'll talk to counselors with you and say, and now you need to identify. You don't identify as a girl or boy. You identify them as an it. Am I telling the truth? Some of you people that are in the what you call field, wave your hand at me. Let me know I'm telling the truth. That's what you people. Some people, you've been in the dark. But that's what people are trying to push off on folks. But it's not true. It's not true. And if you want to find some background on this, read Romans chapter 1, the latter part of it. And you'll figure it out. I don't have time to go into that today, but that's a little teaser for you. If you're going to want some homework, there's your homework. There you go. Jesus offers divine wisdom to those who will open the door of their hearts and invite him in to their table of fellowship, which looks like this. We will find wisdom at the table of the Lord. Our fellowship with Jesus will bring about satisfaction in knowing that there is peace and safety in his presence. I need Jesus, you need Jesus in your life all the time. He doesn't belong on the outside of the door knocking. He belongs sitting down at the table of fellowship with you. He says, but look at the wonderful thing. He's not all upset. If you don't open this door, I'm going to break it down. I don't know what, you have lost your mind. Look, I'm going to count to three, and I'm coming in. You got to want him to be at the table. If you want him to be at the table, he opened the door. He said, I'm going to come in and I'm going to sit down with you and I'm not going to shame you for having put me out. God is not holding a grudge against you for your misbehavior by putting him on the outside. He desires and loves you enough that he's not going to hold it against you for your mishap or mistake. So that's a wonderful thing to know. In the fire of passion, we will re-enter our hearts of those who choose to embrace the presence of the Lord at the table of fellowship. Now, I think we need to learn serving people with purpose and love. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23. This is a good portion that will help us to know what our purpose is. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win more. I thank you. I was so thankful today. The young gentleman was talking about how my good friend Patrick was, you know, his barber and just kind of led him to the ways of Jesus. You have an opportunity all the time to bring people into the kingdom. You don't have to stronghold anybody. You don't have to knock them down. Just start living it and talking about it. And people will come to Jesus. I know I was raised in the era of the four spiritual laws. You have this little book and tells you the four reasons why you're going to go to hell. We call the four spiritual laws or the four spiritual flaws, whatever you want to call it. But I found out what's greater than that is you just start living it and talking about Jesus, and you'll bring more people to Jesus than you can imagine. First of all, live it. Then secondly, open your mouth and talk to people about why you do what you do. Some of you are so busy talking, I don't drink, smoke, or chew, or run with those who do. So what? Really? That's all there is to you? Come on. Well, let me get back to this. I'm sorry. Here. To the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. It goes on a little bit further. And to those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under the law toward Christ. Now, hold that scripture right there, verse 21. Now, you don't go out and get hammered with your best friend and let him know you can identify, okay? Oh, you're going to the casino? Oh, let me go. I've always wanted to know. Can you show me how to work the crap tables? Don't get crazy on me. You know where to draw the line. But what it's saying is, stop living a condemning spirit toward people who are still in the world. Don't try to intimidate, oh, I could never do that. Oh, people who do that are just absolute. Will you stop with your judgmental attitude and start loving people where they're at? You don't clean fish before you catch them. It doesn't work that way. You catch them, then you clean them. I got a knife in my hand. Can I work it? Put your machete down, girl. What's wrong with you? To the weak, I became as weak. Now, watch that one right there. Oh, so a person's just kind of stumbling with a particular thing. Oh, I know what it's like. Hit me with one, too. You know what I'm talking about. Getting that wacky tobacco with your friends. You don't have to do that. But you don't have to try to intimidate them as if they're doing it. Oh, we're going to get through this somehow, okay? That I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you. God is going to put so much love in your heart for people that are in the world that you'll stop prejudging everybody. And you'll start loving everybody in the same way that Jesus loved you. Here we go. Freedom that we have in Christ should be invested in serving others, which means this. Love will always win when the intent is to serve the needs of others. You have a neighbor that's, you know, just not quite there yet. How about serving them? How about loving on them? How about volunteering to work and help with something they're working? Just show love, and not with the intent of, well, I'm going to do this once. If they don't respond, I'm done, moving on. That's not what we're talking about. But we must choose to be culturally sensitive in order to win people to Jesus. You just going to go flamboyantly saying, you know, in the Bible says, all whoremongers, all adulterers are going to be in the lake of fire that burned it forever and ever. And honey, you are headed for a hot place. Really. Thanks for the clue. We do not have to compromise the values of the kingdom to share the message of the gospel. I never cease to be amazed what Jesus did with a woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. And there is no question of whether or not she had done it. They caught her in the act. And they drug her before Jesus, and he says, the book of the law, Moses says that this person should be stoned. And they're ready, and these Pharisees, these Pharisaical people are ready to watch this woman be stoned because she was caught in the very act. Jesus gets down the dirt and starts riding in the dirt. And you may not believe this, but this is my philosophy. Some of you have heard it before. I believe he was riding in the dirt the names of their girlfriends. Sally Mae, Bam Bam, Talusha, Rowena, Joe Bird, all of them were there. And all of a sudden, if some folks started to leave, so, I can't stay here. Oh, no, 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 no. See, when he starts putting your stuff out there, all of a sudden, excuse me, I think I need to go. Sure do need to go. So we have to really be aware of what we're doing. We do not have to compromise values of the kingdom to share the message of the gospel. Well, self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. Somebody say amen. Amen. And self-control basically isn't monitoring our behavior. It's just realizing that sometimes that we should speak up, and we must know when we should shut up. Amen. And some of you have got them reversed. And some of you don't even know they exist. Because when you should speak up, you're like, I don't really know what to say. Yes, you do, but you're a coward. But then some of you overspeak, and you just anything that pops in your head just comes out. You need the Holy Spirit to filter you. Somebody say amen. Amen. Others say, oh me. That's okay. Because it's true. We become all things to all men that doesn't mean we compromise the principles of our walk with Jesus. But saving grace is ministered by those who remember that they were once the person they are now trying to minister to. Did you forget where Jesus brought you from? Thank you. So if he could bring you from there, why can't he bring them from there? If you just love them a little bit more and not judge them so much, he can use you to be an agent of change. Oh, that's a good place to say hallelujah. Well, we must realize that we are sheep often surrounded by wolves. Let's go back into Matthew for a moment. He says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourging you and in their synagogues. And you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake and as a testimony to them, to the Gentiles. But when they have delivered you up, do not worry about what you should speak, for it will be given you in that hour what you should speak. I've been in situations where accused falsely of different things, and it looked pretty bad. But the Holy Spirit was faithful and brought words and brought scripture to my mind that I don't even remember memorizing, but I didn't have to memorize it because the Holy Spirit listens to me. He knows all scripture. And he can pull it out. All I have to do is yield to him, and he can put it out there. And then all of a sudden, I said, well, you know, the Word of God says da 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 da. I'm thinking, oh, sure hope it does. Because I need the anointing. But the Holy Spirit will bring about the words that you can say, and it will dumbfound people and say, you know what? You're right. It's not about being right. It's just about being submitted to Jesus. Well, Jesus let his disciples know that persecution is inevitable. The Bible says, they that live godly shall suffer persecution. Do not be surprised when people persecute you or say bad things about you or lie about you. Or don't be surprised. He's told you that's going to happen. Matter of fact, you ought to be saying, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I must know Jesus. Now, when you get persecuted because you're stupid, that's another story. When you're persecuted because you talk too much or you can't leave other people alone, I can't give you any points for that. But when you've done everything to stand and they persecute you, God will come to your defense. Well, in the same manner that Jesus' disciples were persecuted, we should be ready to endure the same type of treatment. Well, the Holy Spirit will give us words of authority to testify against the powers of darkness. Now, think of this. We must cultivate the awareness that our motives may be misinterpreted or questioned. Oh, you're just doing this because you think you're better than me. Do not ever answer that question. Leave it alone. Do not get defensive. And say, oh, no, I don't want you to think that way about me. You think any way you want to think. Amen. But I'm a love over every conclusion you come to. I'm not going to furrow my brow. I'm not going to get an attitude toward you. Wow. That's the Holy Spirit. That's how he works. Can I give you a reference for this? When Jesus is being talked to and they're saying, you did this, you did that, what did he do? He answered them not one word of defense. Amen. The Holy Spirit's within you to give you that perfect response. The Holy Spirit will shield you, our heart, from the pain of rejection. That's a tough thing. I'm going to ask you how many people have been rejected. I'm going to ask you a question. What was your response to the rejection? Some of you are still living on that street of things that have happened to you years ago. And I'm going to help you with that in just a few moments. But the idea of rejection, nobody does rejection good. Nobody. We say, oh, I don't care what they think. That's a lie. Yes, you do care what they think. I don't care how they treat me. That's a lie. Yes, it is. You're a human being. It affects you. But the Lord has built into your DNA through the power of Jesus the ability of the Holy Spirit to diffuse the arrows of the enemy and to help you with those things. You know, people you dearly love may not listen to you. That's a tough one. Well, there's great power and freedom when we learn how to shake off the dust of our feet. And go back to Matthew. This is the part I'm going to teach you in the next few minutes of how this works. 10:14. And whoever does not receive you or hear you, your words, when you depart from the house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. When I read that scripture, I said, that is the strangest thing ever. Now, anybody can do this. You know, shake off your foot and, you know, do this type of thing. But what does that really mean? And sometimes there are pictures that the Holy Spirit will show you. And I got this information as I was listening to someone preach at one particular point. I said, that makes perfect sense. Well, what it means, shaking the dust from your feet is more than an act of defiance or rehearsed ritual fueled by disgust. In other words, you just kind of just, whatever. So what? I don't care. That's not what it means. When you realize that a conversation is not going where it needs to go, we must take the right steps to bring closure. Never leave a situation from your perspective with hostility in your heart. As much as lies within you, I'm giving you scripture right now, live at peace with all men. That's the word of God. Now, you can't convince them, but you got to convince you. You're responsible for a committee of one. That when you leave that situation, you're not harboring bitterness or hatred toward anybody. Somebody say amen. Amen. You are accountable for what's in your heart. If that sting is still there or that desire to try to get even, you need to talk to Jesus about that. Because you need to shake it off. And you know where you need to shake it off? Right there where it happened. Do not drag it with you. And some of you sitting right here are reliving situations that happened 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. Oh, I'm gonna get personal now, so you better brace yourself. Some of you are still reliving the conversation when your husband or your wife says, I want a divorce, you're not the person I was looking for, I'm leaving, I'm going to somebody else. You are still living on that street. Oh, I know this is painful. Some of you are still living the place where your kids told you, you know, I don't want to be in this household here. I'm going to live my life the way I want to live. I'm going to go live with him, or I'll go do drugs. I'm going to live an alternate lifestyle. And you're still hurt over that particular situation. I'm going to take you back to the scene of the crime, where you get to say, you know, I don't agree with that, but you know, I'm going to leave it right here. I'm going to show you at the end of my message what you do with it. But you got to shake it off at that particular point and shake the dust from your feet and say, okay, I get to understand this conversation, but that's not the end of the story. Well, here we go. Many people carry the residue of unresolved issues with them wherever they go. And if you're still living in that particular conversation you have has put a seed in your heart of distrust or mistrust of people in general. Because once you've had your trust broken, you'll set yourself up that everybody's like that. That people can be with you for a certain period of time and they could leave you at any time. So you reserve yourself at that particular point. You put up guards to protect yourself from that ever happening to you again. I know I'm talking to you right now. And that guard's been up. But the guard you put up to keep other people out is a guard you put up against the Holy Spirit taking control of your life. And unless you bring this thing down, Jesus can't get to the place, to the table, where he can have a conversation with you. Oh, come on, work with me, people. I know I'm going deep right now. Well, we learn how not to carry rejection from one place to another. I want to tell you some of the things that you need to erase from your mind or never get involved in. Be careful. When people use these words, did you hear da da da? Did you hear about so and so and so and so? Shut it down. I didn't hear and I don't want to hear. I'm not supposed to hear, but if I can pray for them, let me know. Because it needs to belong where it started from, and you don't need somebody to deposit that garbage into your life. He said, I didn't hear, don't want to hear, don't need to hear. Oh my goodness, I know God's working on some folks right now. How about this one? Did you know? Some things you don't need to know. Unless you can be a part of the solution, you don't need to be a part of the problem. Come on, work with me, folks. Folks, we're going deep today because I'm going to empty your garbage can. And it doesn't go in recycling, it goes into the trash heap, okay? Do not judge the circumstances from one situation to be the pattern or model for the next. Shake it off here. And if you shake it off here, it may never have to be repeated in your life again. Stop going back to that place and picking it up again. Well, we must be careful not to subscribe to the means that are rooted in witchcraft. That means, one simple definition of witchcraft, I said before, is trying to manipulate situations to turn out the way you want them to. Oh, you'd never do that, would you? Yes, you would. And you're tweaking a little bit here, tweaking a little bit there. You want a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You're a witch. Or a warlock, whichever. Don't want to leave you guys out. You need to stop that. I'm going to show you what I mean. Shaking off the dust from your feet is a physical statement that this event or circumstance stays here and goes no further. Amen. Clarity and defining purpose is essential in presenting the true gospel of the kingdom. Now, here's how we're going to end this thing up, and it'll be very helpful for you. Prayers of intercession must be made on behalf of people whose hearts have been closed by the power of the enemy. I'm going to give you four things. And you might want to even buy this CD because I don't want you to forget these. Number one is this. People do not think they need the Lord. They don't believe they're sick or broken. Know anybody like that? Raise your hand. Everybody does. I don't need Jesus. My life's the way it's supposed to be. I like what I'm doing. You can be deceived in deception and not know you're deceived. Let me take you to number two. People who know they need him, but don't want him. Even though their life is bad, it does not seem bad to them. Have you looked at a train wreck happening and they say, oh, that's the way out of, oh, that's the way it is. Oh, that's just the way we do things around here. Oh, I know that she's out of control, but she'll be fine. And this is, you can learn to live in chaos. I've seen people live in atmospheres where people come in, they'll have their rant and their rave, and they'll cuss somebody else. Oh, she'll calm down later. Everything will be fine. She'll go, oh, yeah. And she won't even apologize and say, well, she just had one of her little spells. That's just how she works. Oh, no, 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 no. When you start accepting that as reality, the devil's got you. Number three, people who do not want it yet, they want to defer their decision to a more convenient time. I know you all know somebody like that. Yeah, I know I need to change, but you know, I'm really not ready for that. Shake off the dust. Don't try to convince it, leave it right there. Because the solution for all this, when we get to number four, is this. People who are unwilling to do what it takes to change. Listen to this. Don't give up on them, but give them up to Jesus. Did you hear what I said? Don't give up on them, but give them up to Jesus. When you realize you cannot fix them or change them, give them up to Jesus. Jesus can fix anything. But you got to stop laboring at this particular place, and you keep trying to do this and trying to do that, and you will wear yourself out. You will lose your relationship with God trying to fix them. What does that mean? Let the grace of God do its work in the lives of people that you leave behind in the dust. Worship team, make your way up here, and I'm going to finish this up. The grace of God is good enough to leave them behind in the dust, but God knows where they are. Let me tell it to you this way. Don't write them off, but you need to shake it off. There's something very powerful, I believe, that the Lord wants to do today. I want every head bowed, every eye closed right now. Everyone. And I want to take you back to the scene of the crime or the incident where some of you are stuck. Could have been 5 years ago, 5 days ago, 10 years ago. But you can even recall the conversation, and you've probably relived this situation hundreds, maybe thousands of times. And it just won't go away. Because you're stuck in that particular place of what they said or what they did or how they responded or what they look like. And I want to tell you today, you need to shake it off. You need to give it up. There are those of you that are sitting in this room today that are stuck in a place where you can't turn your life over to Jesus because of something happened to you. And you say, if I do this, if I forgive them or let go of this situation, I have no recourse or no action. I need to tell you, you need to give it up to Jesus today. I'm going to be honest with you, it's killing you. It's taking all the life out of you. It's taking all the hope out of you. I want to offer you healing today. When Jesus said, shake it off, it means, and he can take you spiritually or he can transport you back to that place of hurt and give you the grace to say, you know what? It belongs back there. It doesn't belong in my life today. And I'm willing to accept God's providence on how this is going to work. I'm going to pray. And I know there are several people here today that for the very first time in your life, you're going to realize, you know, I can have a relationship with Jesus because I'm no longer going to live in the bondage of things that happened to me or blame people for things that they've done to me. That I can put it in the hands of Jesus, open the door that he's been knocking at and allow him to come in and live in my life. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I beseech heaven right now on behalf of people, of individuals that are here today that are in pain, And Lord, I didn't mean to hurt them by taking them back to that place, but Lord, they're reliving the very situation, they're reliving the action. They can see the face of that individual, they can hear the voice of that individual that told them either they were going, they didn't want to be a part of their life anymore, or invited them to a place where they didn't need to go. And Lord, I pray today that they could go to a place of really coming, allowing you to intercede in that situation and allow your love and your grace to heal them. Lord, there are people in this room today who cannot forgive themselves for things they did or things they said, even for things they've allowed into their life as a lifestyle that isn't who they are. But because of a number of things, of deception of the enemy, they've become a person they never wanted to be. God, let them know they can shake it off and they can walk with you in a way they've never walked before. Lord, I appeal by the power of the Holy Spirit to people today that realize they need to change and they're going to trust you for that change and that you're going to help them, you're going to heal them, and you're going to allow them to walk in newness of life. With heads bowed, with eyes closed, I know I'm talking to some people right now. I know I am. And if you're in that position today and you need to change and you need the Holy Spirit to help you, I'm not talking about just people who need salvation. I'm talking about people who've been stuck for a long period of time. That you need to leave that where it belongs and shake the dust from your feet and to move on into what God has for you. If you desire that today, I want you to stand to your feet right now. Stand up. Not just sit there. Just stand up saying, you know, I'm done. I am done living like this. Stand up. Don't wait for somebody else. You do it. Don't you wait for another person. There's several other people. I'm going to invite you. I'm going to go after the devil right now. In the name of Jesus, set people free. There's more people that should be standing right now. You don't need to have another nightmare of experiences, but you need to stand up right now and let the Holy Spirit do what he's going to do. There are five more people that need to be standing. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke the devil right now. And you need to come and let Jesus do his work. Three more people need to stand right now. I'm not backing down. I'm not going to back down because I believe that you're free. Thank you very much. God bless you. There's still two more folks that need to stand, and I'm not moving till you move. Because God's going to do his work today. Two more people need to be standing right now. And this is not for me. This is for you. And you should be tired of the devil pushing you around. You should be tired of the nightmares that you've had. In Jesus' name, stand to your feet right now. Thank you, Lord God. God is so good. God is so good. Still one more person. I'm going to wait just for a moment. Devil's not going to scare me. Good. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I want everybody to lift your hands, everybody. Because we're going to shake some stuff off as we lift. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I speak over you today. The authority of Jesus for you to shake off everything that has beset you before this day. Those things that the enemy put on your shoulders that don't belong there, in the name of Jesus, I give you the power and the ability to shake it off. Memories, incidents, situations, things that were said, things that were done, Lord, that you will be able to shake them off and to move on to do all the things God's called you to do. I speak blessing over your mind, over your thoughts, over your future, that you will inherit all that God has for you. And from this day forward, you'll move forth in the power and the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for his glory, I proclaim these things in the name of Jesus. If you believe that, shout amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a good day.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.